Om.
Svarupena mayopetam.
Svarupena mayopetam.
Pashyan svajam. Pashyan svarajyam ricchati.
Pashyan svarajyam ricchati.
Yadarahitam atmanam.
Yadarahitam atmanam.
Bhutendri gunashayai.
Bhutendri gunashayai.
Yada,
yada,
when,
rahitam,
freed from, atmanam, self, bhuta, material elements, indriya, material senses, guna ashtayai, under the influence of the material modes of nature. Sarupena, impure existence. Maya, by me. Upetam, approaching. Hashyan, by seeing. Svarajyam, spiritual kingdom. Richati, enjoy. Translation. When you are free from the conception of gross and subtle bodies, and when your senses are freed from all influences of the modes of material nature, you will realize your pure form in my association. At that time, you will be situated in pure consciousness. Purport. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that a person whose only desire is to render transcendental loving service to the Lord is a free person in any condition of material existence. That service attitude is the swarup, or real form, of the living entity. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also confirms this statement by declaring that the real spiritual form of the living entity is eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord. The Mayavada school shudders at the thought of a service attitude in the living entity, not knowing that in the transcendental world and the service of the Lord is based on transcendental love. Transcendental loving service is never to be compared to the fourth service of the material world. In the material world, even if one is under the conception that he is no one's servant, he is still the servant of his senses under the dictation of the material modes. Factually, no one is master here in the material world, and therefore the servants of the senses have a very bad experience of servitude. They shudder at the thought of service because they have no knowledge of the transcendental position. In transcendental loving service, the servitor is as free as the Lord. The Lord is svarat, or fully independent, and the servant is also fully independent, or svarat. In the spiritual atmosphere, because there is no fourth service. There, the transcendental loving service is due to spontaneous love. A reflected glimpse of such service is experienced in the service of the mother unto the son, the friend's service unto the friend, or the wife's service unto the husband. These reflections of service by friends, parents, and wives are not forced, but are due only to love. Here in this material world, however, the loving service is only a reflection. The real service, or service in Sarup, is present in the spiritual, transcendental world, in association with the Lord. The very same service in transcendental love can be practiced in devotion here. This verse is also applicable to the Jnani school. The enlightened Jnani, when free from all material contaminations, namely the gross and subtle bodies, together with the senses of the material modes of nature, is placed in the Supreme and is thus liberated from material bondage. The jnanis and the devotees are actually in agreement up to the point of liberation from material contamination. This is the point I'm always speaking. If anybody has any problem, then I don't say the shloka. Here's one of them. The jnanis and the devotees are actually in agreement up to the point of liberation from material contamination. That means that the process of the jnanis or the impersonalists follow and we follow is exactly the same up to liberation. Beyond that, there's a difference. But why we go beyond it is we are thinking of the Supreme Lord in that process of liberation, while they're not, so they stop there. But this is one of the key sentences that I speak on, if anyone wants to know where it is. Canto 3, chapter 9, verse 33 purports. But whereas the jnanis remain pacified on the platform of simple understanding, the devotees develop further spiritual advancement in loving service. The devotees develop a spiritual individuality in the spontaneous service attitude, which is enhanced on and on, up to the point of madhurya rasa, or transcendental loving service, reciprocated between the lover and the beloved. So Krishna here is giving a, how you say, stages by which one can progress in the devotional process. He's been going through here, we see as Krishna is speaking, Brahma has made his prayers, he doesn't want to become contaminate my material energy in the performance of his duties. He doesn't say, oh, I don't want to do these duties. He's very happy to do these duties because he is conditioned. So therefore, then in the performance of these duties, then there's Krishna doesn't see a problem. So he's taking him through this. Don't be worried about it, because what you're asking for is already there. It means anyone who follows the devotional process, they're already on that platform. So you don't have to worry. Just follow it. Then he takes it up by knowledge, by meditation, by penance, or it says follow the principles of knowledge to receive. Notice here it doesn't say the detail of knowledge, because knowledge has detail, but it's the principle that is always applied. Right? We get some knowledge, you try to apply it, sometimes you see it works, sometimes it doesn't. If you have the knowledge, you see it always works, that means you're working on the principle. If you see it sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, that means you're applying just the detail. You're not catching the principle, or you've misapplied it. Right? Simple. So, okay, to receive my favor. By these actions, you'll understand. Okay, so by these particular activities, knowledge and detachment will come. Right? So you're following the sadhana, but we notice here penance, meditation, principles of knowledge. Right? This is where we start. Then he takes it on. Then when you're absorbed in devotional service, then you will see me and in you and throughout the universe, and you'll see you in yourself. That you yourself, the universe and living entities are all in me. So now he'll start to see this jnana aspect will become alive. Right? Before we start with the external, we pull ourselves back from the material energy. We're engaged in penance, austerities, knowledge, charity, these different activities. Then we're able to start to use this, and that's how we see. Right? The other way we're seeing through austerity. Right? Now we're seeing through knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So this is the next stage that he's bringing out. So that means is that you're starting to see that the Lord is everywhere, the living entities are everywhere, He's creating everything, everything's going on. But it's still, you're seeing the forms. That's the main thing. Then we see here, then you will see me in all living entities as well as all over the universe, just as fire is situated in wood. Only in that state of transcendental vision will be able to be freed from all kinds of illusion. Now, this stage will free you from the illusion. Right? Before that, that will uplift you. Right? That'll bring you out of the karma stage to the jnana stage. Now, situated in the jnana stage, this will give one liberation. So then here it means you see Krishna in everything just as fire is in wood. Doesn't matter what the wood is, the fire is there. Right? It's the same fire. Right? You can, any different kind of wood, any shape of the wood, but the fire is the same. So Krishna is in every living entity. At the same time as all the living entities are spirit soul. It's also the same. Right? Same, how you say? Quality. There's not a difference in the quality of soul. That's mode of passion. Right? This is, you know, whatever, Hindu soul, this is Muslim soul, this is American soul, this is Russian, no, like that. That's mode of passion. When thinks the soul takes on the quality, but no, here, it doesn't. So when one sees the souls are the same and Krishna is in everything, that will free you. You'll be liberated. Right? Then in this verse, then he takes it, when you are freed from the gross conception, of gross and subtle, then your senses are free from the influences of the modes of nature. You will realize your pure form and my association. At that time, you'll be situated in pure consciousness. So here, those earlier verses, we began devotional service, then we took up steady devotional service, right, the Madhyama. Now here we're talking about the Uttama. How then they will come in to, they're freed from the material contamination. They don't see the gross and the subtle. Means of course they can perceive it, but that's not what their vision. What they're seeing is, how you say, everything is simply the Lord. Everything's in connection. So the other one, they see it, but they're still affected by the gross and subtle. Right? That's the Madhyama. But advanced, right? Because one's liberated. Now it comes to the point where one is then, how you say, freed from the material concept. Then you can act on one's constitutional position. Right? Then one can see one's sarup. Right? What is your actual form? So then that is the natural next stage. Do we see the stages Krishna's giving here? One verse is giving one stage. Like that. But now in this, when Prabhupada's bringing out in the purport, this is very important to note, is what is this sarup? Right? Many have different opinions on what is this sarup. But we see that Krishna and those from there, in other words, the Nitya Siddhas, they have this all one opinion. It means the nature of service. Right? To them, sarup means nature of service. It doesn't mean what is your body over there. That is for someone who still sees with the gross and subtle conception. So now they think it's a little more, I see the gross, I see the subtle, now I see the spiritual. But the point is it's only form. Right? The point is form follows the mood. Right? Does that make sense? If you don't have the mood, you do not have the form. Never fool yourself. You know, you have an inclination towards a certain sarup. Until the service attitude is complete, you do not have that sarup. Right? Because in this stage, then, the fifth stage of this, there's five stages of this verse, the fifth stage is called inheritance. Right? What is it called? Some...
Huh?
Prapana. Like that. Is that you inherit it. It's yours now. Otherwise, before that, you're moving in and out of that sarup, depending upon your involvement in the material world. Right? Does that make sense? But you can say you're there solid in, what's it, sampati. Right? You become, it's like nishta, like you go through the stages and in the anishta bhakti, right? You have faith, you take up association, you take up the process, but the process is unstable. When you get this process stable, that's called nishta. Technically it's called nishta bhajana kriya, not just bhajana kriya, nishta bhajana kriya. So that's the same here. So sampati then means that you become nishta in your sarup. Otherwise before that your service attitude wasn't complete, because if it was complete, you would be thinking of Krishna in samadhi. Right? You wouldn't be distracted by anything else. Right? The gopis, you know, taking care of the children, putting the cow dung patties on the wall, taking care of the family, in their spiritual form, in the spiritual world, right, that, then it's nice, right? It can't be bad. Things go nicely here, we say, hey, this is pleasant. But now you can imagine being in a place where nothing goes wrong. Right? So, what's going to remind you of Krishna if you're not already Krishna conscious? So, they weren't. Right? Krishna blows his flute, they don't go. Why? The husband's just standing there. Why? Because the husbands mean something. Otherwise, how could they be standing there? Right? An obstacle is only something that you give credence to. Right? It's only an obstacle if you give it the authority to be one. Right? Right? Does that make sense? So, they give it that, but when they don't give it that, the others just go. The other gopis all left. They all went. How did they go? There are no obstacles. Husbands aren't obstacles. Other co-wives aren't obstacles, mothers-in-laws aren't obstacles, big sticks aren't obstacles, it doesn't matter. There's no obstacles. They just go. They hear the flute, they go. Because of that, service attitude is complete. They go. The other ones then stay back. And what do? They start to meditate. That meditate, instead of being occasional or regular, now becomes absorbed, becomes deep, and comes to the point of samadhi. Then, having come to that point, then they come to sampati das, then they're able to then associate always with Krishna in his pastimes. Does that make sense? So then, if you're going to take that, sarup is the form, but what actually makes the form work? That's more important. I have a car. I have a nice car. It's a fancy car. But if there's no driver, there's no petrol, will it work? Does it matter? What's the use of the most expensive car? Right? I got a 1.2 million Bugatti sitting out in the back here, like that. No one sees this behind the bushes, right? Like that. But there's no petrol and no one knows how to drive it. In fact, we don't even have keys. Right, but I got the car. Hey, I got the car. Right, you know? So then, you know, I take some of the 5-year-olds over and say, "Hey, check this out." You know, they go, "Ooh, cool." Right, you know. So it's nice. You understand? So it's nice to sit around and go, "Wow, you know, I'd like to be this and that, or so many things like that." That's nice. But don't think because you think like that that you have it. Right? Does that make sense? That's the important point. This is the difference between those who come down and those who are on their way up. You understand the difference? When they talk rag bhakti, this is the difference. The one talks about it'd be great to be this, hey, you know, you get the posters on the wall, get all the, you know, the playing cards, you know, all the little paraphernalia and gadgets and the t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, talk the talk, walk the walk, it's cool, right? But the people who are in that position don't have any of that paraphernalia. You understand? Does that make sense? Because they have it. So they live it. They don't talk about it. Right? That's the meaning. Talk is cheap. Right? Does that make sense? Talk is cheap. Right? Comes too cheap, then that's not good. But the point is that the talk should be connected with reality, and that reality is the service attitude. You have the service attitude, you have the sarup. That's why it's emphasized, what's the service attitude, right? You have a girl. She wants a boy. Okay, but what's important is the attitude of how to behave, how to be a wife or be a mother or be a friend. Otherwise, you get the husband, it can be lost very easily, right? Does that make sense? Right? Not easy to lose, hard to keep. So then that means you want to keep, means it's a quality, right? You look good. Right? That's why they were interested. But is your looks keeping them? No. So then, what happened? It's because if you don't know how to operate it, what's the use of it? Therefore, you talk to the girls about proper behavior, the attitudes, the chapter, these things. That's what you talk to. That makes the girl. That girl does get a husband. And that girl keeps one. So that devotee with the service attitude gets the surup and he keeps it. Because little known or little talked about. As I mentioned once, give a quote here, Harinam Chintamani. Then, when we're talking, which verse is he talking on? I don't remember. But possibly the fifth verse. Then, fifth verse means the fifth of the, oh no, that would be Vajana Rahasya. That breaks it into that. But when he's speaking about the principle of chanting, that if you chant and think, I am the devotee, or I am the spiritual master of devotees, right? That's your consciousness, not your position. Then Haridas Thakur says you can go on for, I think he says hundreds, I don't think he says thousands, I think he says hundreds of lifetimes being born again and being on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. You're an Uttamadhikari, but you never get past this stage. You'll never get the Sampati Das. You'll be stuck in Smarandasana, the third stage. You'll get stuck there because you think, I am advanced, I am the master of devotees. Because who is advanced? Right? Radharani. Who's the master of devotees? Krishna. So it's a very subtle form of impersonalism that I am God or I am God's devotee, because we're neither. Right? Krishna says very carefully here, don't know the Sanskrit, but one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. This is not just saying, he's just saying he's not my devotee. One who says he's the devotee of my devotee, that's my devotee. Right? Because if you ask Radharani, she's not a devotee. Right? So, the devotees don't say the devotees, and the ones that do say the devotees of the devotee. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's our position. So, having this understanding that being servant, then you can go through the whole process smoothly. It will just happen automatically, as Prabhupada said. Right? And this automatically means you're following the process. This automatic is not the Western, lazy, non-Vedic definition that automatic means I do nothing and I just win the lottery, right? Right? But at least I had to go and buy the ticket. But here, automatic, we think, I do nothing. But if you think about it, automatic means you had to do something, automatic washer, right? You didn't have to put the clothes in, no soap, you didn't have to push the button, you didn't have to plug it in, nothing, automatic, right? You didn't even have to buy it, it just sits in the shop, right? And the guy at night wonders why, you know, he comes in and all his machines smell like suds, because they've been washing machines all night automatically, you know, the whole city's closed. That's he's wondering, why is no one's buying washing machines? Hey, they don't need to, they're automatically doing it. No, but you had to go, you had to research it, you had to go and buy it, you had to bring it home, you had to install it, and every time you want to use it, you have to operate it. It'll do the rest on its own, right? Also, this applies in a side thing on relationships. You do everything, then you get something, right? This idea, I'm going to do nothing and I get something, or automatic means I sit back and it automatically happens without me doing anything. This is not the definition that Prabhupada is using. Automatic means you follow the process, automatically it works. Because it's spiritual, it's not material, right? You put your toast in the toasting machine, then in theory you should get out a nice golden brown piece of toast. But sometimes you do, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't cook, sometimes it burns. Right? But here, so therefore we say, well, if you follow the process, maybe there'll be a problem. So how is it automatic? But if I sit back and fall into my Malecha concept of automatic means doing nothing, then that sounds great.
Yeah.
You understand? So that is the point being made. Automatic means you're following the process, then automatically you get the result, because the spiritual doesn't have obstacles. Right? The obstacles are what we perceive. We allow those to be obstacles. Why does it have to be an obstacle? Right? Nothing material can stop devotional service. We don't let it be an obstacle. Yudhishthira lost the emperorship of the whole world. Undisputed emperorship. No one else you ever hear of having that. I mean, you go back, okay, maybe Dushmanta had it, you know, Yayati, these persons had. But at that time, even Pandu didn't have undisputed. He had emperorship, but it was disputed. But he was bigger than everybody, and so they accepted. Yudhishthira, they just surrendered. Right? Unless they were demons. Then they killed him. But otherwise, it was undisputed. He lost that and ended up where? In the forest. Right? So he didn't go from, okay, being in my house to being the temple president to being in my house and being voted out of being temple president, but still being in my house and still being in the temple, but not as the president. Right? So that's so much, I can't perform my service, I can't go on, I can't trust, I can't this, the devotee's that. They went from being emperors of the world to out in the forest, nothing, zero, zit. Right, we can also call it zilch. Right. Does that make sense? Right. So that means then it's attitude that's the most important. You have the right attitude, everything works. Wrong attitude, nothing works. Very, very simple. Right? So that's what's being brought out here. You have this transcendental loving service, it works. Now, to give this thing, now this is very important for the conditioned soul here, this word swarat, independent. So it's pointed out, the servant is as free as the Lord. So just as much freedom as the Lord is as swarat, the devotee is also. Right? This is now to get rid of our fear, well, if I give up my independence, I won't have control over my situation, and anytime I lose control, then someone takes advantage. But here it's no. You surrender, you still have it, right? Here is the, you know, proverbial, have your cake and eat it. Right? But you can't do it here. But in the spiritual world, you can. You can fully surrender and be 100% independent. Not bad, right? Good program. So that is so that we are willing to surrender. Okay, the sense gratification, we know we get it sometimes not. That is, we kind of get used to. We would like it to always be there, but we've had to adjust that I don't always enjoy, right? But this independence, hey, no, that I enjoy, I don't enjoy, I'm going to be in control of the situation. So this is then, so we don't have that feeling of, I don't want to surrender because I'll lose my independence. No, you still have it. Because you're freely, fully independent at any moment to serve or not. Right? But just someone who's intelligent knows service is better. Right? It just works better. So then, the living entity, then it works nicely. So this method works both for the jnani and for the devotee to become liberated, because this verse is on liberation. Right? But they come to liberation only, we've come to Brahma-Bhuta. Prabhupada defines the difference between the two, is liberation means that you're free from material contamination, and Brahma-Bhuta means you're free from material contamination and situated in devotional service. Right? So that's the difference. So, therefore, we use the word liberation, or free, you know, like, free from material contamination, but we mean Brahma-Bhuta. And when we ever speak badly about liberation, that means the non-Brahma-Bhutic concept. Right? So that's why sometimes you see we speak bad about it, but sometimes we speak good about it. And the thing that makes it a difficulty is the thing is, it's the same. So we hear it's the same. No, liberation is different. No, liberation is the same. Liberation is our process. They're just misusing it for their own purposes. Right? They're like thieves. They've taken the devotional process and used it to liberate themselves and not become devotees. Just like the karmis, they're thieves. They've taken the process of, you know, like engaging the body, mind, and words in the Lord's service, but they use it for getting the heavenly planets. Does that make sense? The elevation process is supposed to take one to Krishna. Krishna says there's one path. He doesn't say there's many paths. He says there's one path. Right? There's many perspectives, but only one path. So that one path is wherever it is, from Patal all the way up to, you know, this here. He says Madhurya Rasa. It's one path. So just these unscrupulous persons take that path and use it only for their own purposes to get how far they want. But the devotee uses the path properly and goes back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So in here then, we establish that by following the process of sadhana and bhakti, and that with this understanding of how everything's in connection to Krishna, you will come to the liberated platform. Then seeing like that way, by seeing that way long enough, when you're freed from the material concept, then you will understand your swarup, right? Here's the cleaning of the mirror. You clean the mirror, you see yourself. It's not a separate process. Like that. Then having obtained why that's obtainable is through service. One's position is maintained. Because if the Lord, how can you be friends with the Lord if He's independent if you're not? Because He's unlimitedly independent. We're small independent. We don't have to be that independent. We're 1/10,000 units for the hair. How much independence does He need? Right? It doesn't take much space. Right? So, like that. And then, the process for getting there is the same as, it's the Vedic process. Right? That's why we don't have any difficulty talking about Vedic, talking about the impersonal path, liberation, moksha, this, because we know actually it's only devotional service. Just as we see the bodies, we also see the processes. So we see yoga, how Krishna is in it, how it's non-different. We see jnana, we see karma, then everything's connected. Does that make sense? Any questions? Yes.
comments and questions. Saying that obstacles are something that we only experience when we take our mind off the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Very
yes. Nice. And yeah. I was wondering if you could please define again what is sampatidat and where is that described?
Where is that described? That is also described. Haridas Thakur, after he finishes discussing the 10 offenses, then describes Bhava Bhakti, the 5 stages. First is hearing about who you are in the spiritual world. Second is adjusting with that concept. Third is becoming absorbed in the Lord. Fourth is then being situated in that concept. And fifth is actually inheriting, or it becomes you. It's not just you. There is no other concept like that. So that's Shravandas, Varnadas, Smarandas, Sampatidas, and Prapati. Oh, Prapana is also named for Sampati. Then what's that for Sampati?
Before that is
Apan. Oh, that, okay, that's right. That's Apandas. Sampati is, okay, okay. That's where I was thinking with an S, but then, okay, it's Sampati. Does that make sense? So the first three are described by Srila Prabhupada in the introduction to Upadeshamrita, when he's describing, and he's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this is the vision of also the Nitya Siddhas, is that they see these first three come all the way down to Shraddha. Because first you hear, because the essential point is, I am servant of Krishna. Right? So then you first hear, you're not this body, you're a soul, you're servant of Krishna. That is Varna Das. That's the beginning stages of Bhava Bhakti. But it's just a slight haze, so therefore, it's called developing Shraddha, like that. Then adjusting with that, you adjust, I'm a devotee, yeah, I'm not a karmi, right? Then Smarandas, then you become absorbed in thinking about Krishna and your service and all that. So when that matures, then that's, you're situated in Bhava Bhakti, right? Because it said that Shraddha, mature faith, is prema. Prema is described as mature faith. So it's just a maturation of each of these stages brings you to the next. It doesn't mean the other one goes away. It's not like, okay, been there, done that, done the Shraddha thing, now I'm doing the Sadhusanga thing. Because that's why you see if someone can be very advanced, lose faith, and they just drop. They're not in devotional service. That moment. Right? Because you go, how are they so advanced? How could they fall? It's Shraddha, that's all. You put the Shraddha back, they're back where they were. Despite the modern, how you say, moral concept that, you know, of eternal damnation. You know, just for everyone's information, it's a little known fact these days, but eternal damnation is not an eternal concept, nor a Vaishnava concept, nor a Vedic, like that. It's a concept done by this one guy who was thrown out of India by the Shishya himself personally, because he was so off the wall in his philosophy, that he started Zoroastrianism. In fact, his name was Zoroaster, like that. He's known as Jaruta in the Rig Veda. Right? So he was like, you know, one of the original Apasamradayas. He started Zoroastrianism, you know, heaven and hell, the devil and God. The devil can act independently of God, you know, the devil maybe do it stuff, all that kind of stuff. Then that gave rise to Judaism, from that Christianity, and so that's where your eternal damnation comes from. So if you ever have the concept that once someone's done something wrong, it can never be rectified, now you know where you're getting it from. It's not Vedic. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool anyone else. Like that. Simply a modern, non-Vedic, useless concept. Because that means you don't accept the concept of iron and fire. Right? You're the one when the iron is hot, red hot, flames coming off on it, you go, nope, iron. But it's fire. No, it's iron. I know it's iron. It may be hot, it's been in fire, okay, it's hot. So what? It's iron. Right? This person is, you know, how you say, Vishvaso Naiva Jayate. Right? They're the ones having hellish mentality that can never, never, never go back to Godhead. But that's a side point. But they are politically correct. Yes, very politically correct. Yeah, that's the eternal damage. But whatever. So the whole idea is that it's here. So this element, Madhurya Rasa, is a service attitude. Parental Rasa is a service attitude. Right? The Sakya Rasa is the service attitude. Having that service attitude, that develops the form. Right? I will give a shloka here. Yam kama krota sahajat panayari bhiti vatsalya moho guru gaurava sevi mahavaihi. Right? They have that mood, then they develop that form. It means that living entity has that mood. That perfect form of that mood is Radharani and Mother Yashoda, Sudam, Sridam, Madhu Mangal. Right? So it's mood first, not form first. Form first is sadhana bhakti. Mood first, that is the transcendental. That's the bhava bhakti. Right? So that is the point, is that we use sadhana and we deal with both at once, but we have to be very, very careful that we don't mix the two and mistake one for the other. Right? Otherwise, we develop, then it becomes easy. That's the hajj. Right? When the talk is cheap, that's called sahaj. So that's, and someone who follows the sahaj path is called sahajya. Right? One who's on this path is sahaj. Right? So one has to be very, very careful there. Because the difference between a sahajya and someone who is practicing Raghunuga Bhakti is simply their concept of service. That they have the service attitude, they're doing it to please. Not because it's what I want. Oh, wouldn't that be great to be in the pastimes? Right? As soon as you think that, bang, they disappear. Right? But I'm the servant, they remain. Because servants are only there, not people who want to be there. People who have a service attitude, they're there. Right? You want to get a job done, and you say, okay, you know, you look around, who do you call? The one that has the ability and the right attitude, or the one that wants to do it? Right? The one that has the right attitude and the ability, right? Others will say, oh, you know, he wants to do, isn't it nice, shouldn't he be there, right, you know? So, you know, you have all these people standing there with Maya. No, but he wants to be in the pastime. Kind of let him be there. Wouldn't that be nice? Like that. And then what does Maya say? Beat it, right? She starts doing the moonwalk and says, beat it, right? Okay. Well, does that make sense? So that's yes.
And we're starting the process, which is automatic, but we have to endeavor.
Yes.
But there's a description that, you know, Vaihi and Raghunuga, that if you stay in Vaihi, you'll only go to maybe dwarfa.
Ah.
You have to change tracks.
You have to change tracks. But what does it also say if you continue in that? Right, pulling out all the stops now. Raghavarma Chandrika is explaining this, right? So Vishwanath is explaining the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. And he says that one can, depending upon one's taste, it's a matter of maturity, it's a matter of taste, it's a matter of realization, that one can start the concept of it from Madhyama, right? From Nishta, not below that, right? No one talks below that, like that, not from Shastra. But, or at liberation. Right? But he says at that time, someone who is a Gaudiya, then they switch tracks. Because they're always keeping Braja Krishna as the goal, so it automatically switched by association. But through his, in other words, if someone is a sadhana siddha, they will, there's a good chance they may use Vaidhi all the way through. But, just because it looks like Vaidhi doesn't mean it's Vaidhi. Because Raghunuga looks like better Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti than someone who is a Vaidhi Sadhaka. Right? Unless they're a Sadhana Siddha. Right? Because what is the example given? Always given? The wife who has a paramour. She does her duties better than if she didn't. Right? She has to look like she really likes what she's doing. So she'll do everything perfect. Right? Well, otherwise, if that's her position, then she does it or not does it, depending upon how much the husband's pleased her. But the husband's pleasing her or not pleasing her, she's doing the duties perfectly. So one might mistake, this is a sadhana bhakta. Right? And many of the Raghunugis do. They don't actually fully understand. They have an idea, but they don't have a complete picture. What they're doing may be nice, but the picture is way bigger than what they're viewing. Right? So therefore, it may look like it, but may not actually be. Because How will you tell the difference between a Raganuga Sadhaka and a Vaidhi Sadhaka? Technically, you can't. Actually, you probably could, because the Raganuga Sadhana would be doing the Vaidhi better than the other one. At least in front of people. You know what I'm saying? So how would you tell the difference? You know what I'm saying? Everyone would go, oh, so he's such a nice wife, she would do everything. Right? The other one's yelling, screaming, doesn't cook dinner because, you know, you're a rat bag. Okay, but this one cooks dinner even if you are a rat bag. Right? So that's how the gopis make it. They only got rat bag husbands, right? You know, that's all they got over there. You know, so but they're doing all their duties nicely so that they won't know. Do everything, make the bed, put everything, go to bed, everything, it's gone, right? You know, but he won't suspect. Okay? So that's the thing. So Vishwanath in Raghubhatta Chandrika, where he's describing the process of Raghunuga Bhakti Sadhana for the Madhyamadikari, he's saying one can follow sadhana up to there or not, as it means in the sadhana you'll follow Vaidhi up to there or not. It doesn't matter. Because by association it will switch. Because the point is even if you're doing, if you don't get the association with Nitya Siddha gopis, you're not going to become one anyway. That's the whole trick. Why didn't those gopis go? That's also explained by Vishwanath. 11th canto, in the verse when Krishna played the flute, and they didn't go. In the purport, then it's mentioned there that they didn't get the association of the Nitya Siddha gopis. Because they were just happy being in the gopi form. Right? So they got the gopi form. They are in that. They're in a spiritual body. And they're putting cow dung patties on the wall and not remembering Krishna. Or they're remembering Krishna, but you know, Krishna's nice, it's great. Good feeling. But it's not like their life and soul. Therefore, when the flute blows, they're still, you know, doing cow dung patties and the other ones are going to rasa dance. So what's the difference between the two? Simply service attitude. They both got gopi bodies. That's why Prabhupada and the others, in other words, the married women, they talk about how to keep a man. The unmarried girls, they talk about how to get one. This is the difference in how you can tell, even within Raganuga Bhaktis, who's on different levels. Right? So then with this, you can very accurately make a judgment. Like that. On how they talk. Prabhupada talks here. There's right in the, I think it's the purport, the Nittaipada Kamala, the song. Right in the purport, he says, the purpose of this movement is to make one qualified to join the rasa dance. And he wasn't saying as a parrot in a tree or something. Or one of the trees. He said, that's the purpose of this movement. He says about two or three times in all of his works. Doesn't want to overemphasize, otherwise you get, you know, a sahaja mentality. He directly says that. So then, when he says here, this is the only way, and he takes it up to Madhurya Rasa here. He doesn't leave it at that. Right? But, this is how married women who are rightly situated talk to unmarried girls, is how to get them to that position. You know, married women go, oh, wouldn't it be cool? Oh, yeah, okay, check that one out. Oh, look at that one. No, that's what the unmarried girls do. Right? They just talk, it doesn't matter which one you get, that's not the question. The question is, what are you going to do with it once you get it? Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. So the element is there is one has to be aware where one's going. That is what's going to take you there. But the process used doesn't matter. That's the beauty of devotional service, because there's only one path. So it doesn't matter what you're using on it, it'll all get you there if the goal is the same. So therefore, one devotee through karma yoga gets the devotional service. Someone through jnana yoga, someone through dhyana yoga, they all get the devotional service. Right? That's what Krishna says in the Gita. Someone's following a sangha yoga, someone's following the devotional path. They come to when they're liberated, they're at the same point. Because they both see the Lord. Face to face. Like that. But the advantage of the other one is easier, devotional line, and you've been seeing, you know, the mood of seeing the Lord since the beginning, while the other one is, he knows the Lord, but he doesn't know Ms. Bhagavan, he only knows Ms. Paramatma. So then his conception has to mature. Well, the devotee, by that stage, is already mature. But basically, the difference is no difference. When you're liberated, these things are moments, right? The four kumaras, it was a moment, you know. It was just a sniff, and then it worked. Like that. Is that okay? Yeah. So, it's very important. I only spoke strongly because sometimes it's used against Prabhupada's method or against Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's method. But one has to know the perspective that they're dealing with. These are nityasiddhas who know conditioned souls. Right? These are not conditioned souls who will become advanced. Right? So, in other words, an expert likes to talk the language. A master can talk it or not, depending upon the audience. Right? An expert will talk the language even if the audience can't understand it. It's just what, how they get the taste. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Generally speaking, someone wants to become rich.
Yeah.
They'll clap his opulence for every little he has. But a rich person hides it.
Yeah, like that. Yes, very good. You heard? He was saying someone who wants to become rich shows their opulence because it shows people I'm rich. But someone who has it then hides it. Yeah, that's very good. That's the point. So that's, this is the subtleties of the rahasya of the scriptures that is being pointed out. So this purport works on all levels, right? It's working on someone in Bhava Sadhana, it's working on someone in Raghunava Sadhana, it's working on someone in Vaidhi Sadhana. And even in Vaidhi, it'll work for those in as a neophyte or as a madhyama, on karma yoga or jnana yoga, like that. It has all the elements that can seamlessly move from one to the other, like that. Okay, so end here. We'll continue if anyone has any questions after 5 minutes. We'll end now. So. Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Jai Gaurava Vrindana ki.
Thank you for quoting folks too, so no one can make any accusations.